You're listening to Irish Sports Talk. Hello, Notre Dame fans, and welcome to Irish Sports Talk. This is episode 337. Today is our preview podcast covering Notre Dame's visit to Syracuse, noon on Saturday.
It won't actually be at Syracuse. It is a neutral site.
That's right. That's right. Thank you.
Definitely in Notre Dame's favor on that, because I'm guessing there'll be just as many, if not more, Notre Dame fans at the game, which is at MetLife Stadium.
MetLife.
And so I'm not totally sure who actually instigated this, because I think Syracuse was actually having a couple of these games at MetLife just to try to say that they're New York's team. And so far, all the games they've had there, which I think USC, there's a couple other big games they've had, they've lost most of them. So it hasn't really been working out.
Well, I do expect more of the same this Saturday. The Notre Dame team seems to be rejuvenated. They seem to be... that is the key word there. We'll talk a little bit about that. The team had... Some of the players had were available for interviews. Brian Kelly had his interview yesterday with the media. And some of the things we're going to get to is Brian Kelly's involvement with the defense moving forward. And there was some insight into how much he was involved leading up to it, and kind of maybe how it will change moving forward. Also want to just discuss the question, Randall. Do you think the players are buying into this new kind of this change, this playing with fun? Do you think they're buying into that? I don't want your answer right now, but we're going to get to that. And then, of course, we're going to look at Syracuse. Who are their key players? What will they try to do to defeat Notre Dame? And Notre Dame is still favored in this game. It was at 11 points, and I believe it's still somewhere around there.
I think it's at 10 right now.
Actually, on ESPN, it's at 12 now.
Okay. But I'm not sure which site that was. It's from Vegas.
And I'm still not sure what ESPN uses for their spread. I'm not sure where they get it from. All right, so let's just start with this. Brian Kelly's involvement with the defense. It has been discussed oftentimes, you know, how much is he involved with the defense? And listening to James Onuwalu's interview, he was asked if Brian Kelly, or how his involvement has changed. And for the first time ever, we have an audio clip. We're really stepping it up today. But I want to play you his response to that question. How has his involvement changed with the defense? So here's James Onuwalu from earlier today.
Even being over on the defensive field, you know, he wasn't over there much unless we were going against the offense. And having him around has helped a ton. You know, having the head man around when you're doing your drills and doing, you know, 9-on-7 or team, whatever it is.
He then continued to talk about how it is. It helps having him there just because the players are more attentive. It'd be kind of like having your manager at work and then having the CEO step by and check out what's going on, what's happening.
The first thing I thought of when I heard that was, wasn't Notre Dame supposedly more involved with the defense last week?
Brian Kelly. Yeah, and I'm assuming, don't you think he kind of took that question as, because he said he'd be more involved.
I'm sure, but maybe he wasn't quite as involved. I mean, it doesn't sound like he was on the field, out on the practice field with the defense much at all last week. It's a new thing this week, according to what they're saying now. So, you know, there was some reports, you know, that he was way more involved, and maybe that's what kind of opened his eyes to what was going on. But that could mostly be coaches meeting, stuff like that, because here he's saying he's out in the field this week, so that hasn't happened before.
I know, but I think he could have been answering that question from the week before.
Because he said this week. That's new.
Did he? I just closed the tab where I had that open.
Okay. But that's just what popped in my head. Yeah. I don't know. That's the one thing I thought of.
So let's keep on going down this direction. Brian Kelly's involvement with the defense. He was asked, is it going to have his stamp on it, or is it going to be Hudson's defense? And Brian Kelly did say that it will have his stamp on it. he made the analogy of he's going to write the music and Hudson is going to be the lead singer.
Kind of laugh and wonder if that's a good way to...
I think a better would maybe be the players are the singers and he's the director. Hudson's the director.
Well, but he was talking about the relationship between... He was talking about himself and Hudson.
I know.
Oh.
But he said he wrote... Brian Kelly wrote it.
Oh, gotcha. Gotcha. He said that the implementation of the defense and the schemes will be Brian Kelly. Will be his. He's bringing the excitement. And he said it'll be a Coach Kelly style D. So I guess we can finally find out how that looks, because I've had my theories that he's been involved more than we thought, but as now it doesn't sound like he has been. But before, you know, everything passed through him anyways, so it'll just be fun to see how it looks this week.
And a big thing that he's pointing out or trying to make a point of is playing with emotion, playing free, and having fun. And I know some people don't like the idea of having fun, but think of it this way. If you don't, think of it like a job. You don't think of having fun at your job, but do you enjoy your job? Because if you don't enjoy your job, it's going to suck. And that's the way I look at it. I enjoy my work. And if I wouldn't enjoy it, if I would hate it, it would be hard to do a good job, number one, but even to be engaged and to try to get better at it.
Yeah.
And so I think the whole thing about having fun, I do think it's key. You need to be enjoying what you're doing.
And I do think that's one word that's kind of been ingrained in the players. They all keep mentioning it, so they've definitely talked about it. They're definitely, the coaches have, obviously Brian Kelly has, and the players even had their own meeting. I believe it was on Sunday, but at some point they had their own meeting, and you know, I don't know. Nobody knows what all was said there, but the one comment McClinchy made about that meeting is that there's things that were said that kind of struck home with some guys. So I think they feel a sense of urgency. They realize that they got to step up and do their part.
Something else Brian Kelly's been made a point of is having more guys play. And Deshaun Kizer kind of answered this too, as far as he was asked, you know, what makes this more fun? And he said competition. When there's more guys involved.
And third string guys.
Yeah. He just said when there's more competition, it's more fun. It's more intense. And we're definitely going to see that. Obviously, Jay Hayes. I think Dexter Williams is another guy that he came up specifically that Williams. He's going to be guy. He brought him up, in an example as far as how many snaps Josh Adams got compared to Dexter Williams. Other than that, I don't know for sure who's going to get a lot more snaps, but I think it's going to be quite a few guys are going to get more snaps. I don't think we'll see guys on the defensive line getting 85% of the snaps.
Well, Azmir Bilal was another guy he mentioned, and basically he said something that was happening was like Tavon Coney had 56 snaps and then was out there for 56 plays. And then he missed a tackle. And he just getting wore down. Another one was Studstill. Studstill had 67. He was out there for 67 plays. And then he misses that one tackle for a long gain. And so he says it's obvious that these guys are... he said the words he used were overexposed. And they've got to manage the players. So they got to have more of a rotation. They can't have guys that, play somewhere. They've got guys that can play. And they can't put so much pressure on these guys. Tranquil, I didn't necessarily agree with him. He said he had a great game. He did at the beginning. But he had 39. He was out there for 39 plays. And then he said he missed one tackle. But there was more than that. Or he should have done a better job.
He missed one of his tackles after 39 plays.
Yes, there you go. But I definitely like to see. I definitely think that's going to help is, getting more.
I don't know
if it's a rotation. I think he's planning to do more like a series. Like, hey, this is your series. This is your series. Because the problem that Notre Dame has had that's going to be exposed against Syracuse is rotating guys. So I think it's different. The difference is he's not bringing guys out in the field for every play. He's not changing the
personnel
on every play. It's going to be, you know, hey, this is your drive. You get another, you get the next one. Whatever. It's going to be more like that and keep the guys on the field.
Especially, keep them fresh. Especially against Syracuse.
Yeah.
Maybe against more of a traditional team that doesn't go up-tempo. Maybe then there would be more of that where it's during a drive.
You mean more up-tempo?
No. Huh? I'm saying, sorry, when there's less tempo. When it's more of a traditional team that's not as up-tempo.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
One other thing on the defense as far as it's going to, he said, we're not going to be able to defend everything, but they're going to be sound. And so the way I read into that, we're probably not going to see exotic blitzes. We're not going to see a whole bunch of crazy stuff. Probably not. I doubt we'll see a safety blitz. Probably not, maybe not even a cornerback blitz. But
how often have we actually seen guys blitz, though?
Well,
BBG wasn't blitzing that much.
He wasn't, but there were a few times. There was a couple safety blitzes. There was a handful of cornerback blitzes.
But it'll probably be more from the defensive line and the linebackers.
We'll probably see, yeah, fewer linemen dropping in coverage and more
I guarantee you
cornerbacks dropping in coverage.
The first time a lineman drops into coverage on Saturday, Twitter will go crazy. Notre Dame will be trending.
I'm gonna go out on a limb here, Ryan. I'm gonna say there's not gonna be one lineman that drops in coverage. Now, keep in mind
there will be.
Keep in mind they do a lot of screenplays, Syracuse, and so if the defensive lineman notices that, you know, it might look like maybe he's dropping in coverage to go cover that. So aside from screen passes, I'm gonna say there's not gonna be a lineman dropping in coverage.
I say it's still gonna happen.
Okay, we'll see.
Not as much, but it'll happen. Just because teams do that. That is something a lot of teams do. Just not to the extent that Notre Dame did. The reason that we're so...
I don't think college teams... Well, there's a lot of college teams.
I can't say that every team does it, but it is a play that works. The reason everybody knows that Notre Dame is because it never worked, and they dropped two at the same time.
One time it worked when Dylan Hayes dropped.
Yeah. And there was multiple guys. It wasn't like it was just one guy. It was multiple guys. I think that's a big difference.
Okay.
Brian Kelly did mention some guys wondered if they would have any offensive guys switching to the defense. Brian Kelly said there'd be one guy he could switch, Q Nelson, to the nose guard. But then he said, no, that's not going to happen. He said it's too late in the season. They're not going to switch any guys from offense to defense, which I'm totally fine with that. I'm not one of switching the guys around just because a guy is a good – it's hard to switch positions. And I'm not a big fan of doing a lot of position switching.
I mean, I think it would have to happen in the spring.
Yeah, because it takes time to get used to it.
I mean, you see how tough it is for – high schoolers to come in and get into the rotation. This year it's been a little bit different, I guess, but
they've been forced to.
Okay, I want to talk a little bit about the transformation or the rejuvenation of this team, because watching Brian Kelly's press conference, watching the player interviews, these guys seem, at least, maybe not all of them, but I kind of noticed it from maybe CJ Sanders' interview and Deshaun Kaiser's interview, where they just seemed like there was less pressure on them, where it felt like a clean slate. And I think probably the meeting the team had on Sunday maybe had something to do with that. And I don't know what they talked about for sure, but CJ Sanders coming out of that just talked a lot about, you know, this is a family, not being selfish and playing for each other, but keeping in mind that you're playing for your brothers on the team. And so I think just a refocus on this is a family was maybe part of it.
Yeah, it's right now I don't know which way to go with this team.
Well, keep in mind
playing Saturday,
the team appears optimistic. Practice is going great by all appearances. However, if Notre Dame comes out and gives up 45 points, are they going to be able to bounce back again? I don't think so. If they drop 40, or if Syracuse scores 45 points, Notre Dame loses 30-45, I think that will crush the spirit of this team.
Well, according to some Syracuse guys, they think they're going to have to score at least 40 to win this game.
Notre Dame?
Syracuse would. The reason I don't know which way to go on this at this point is because each week after Texas, you know, after Nevada, not so much, but after Michigan State, we were always saying, oh, they've got it out of the system. They're going to bounce back. They're going to bounce back. Things are different now. They've got it figured out. And I've lost all confidence in this team. They got rid of their defensive coordinator. But there's just so much stuff. I think it's just going to be hard to change everything to make it.
I know, but there's a few things in Notre Dame's favor. The one is there isn't the pressure of winning every game to get to the playoff. Even after losing Texas, that was still in the back of my mind. If they would win out,
true.
Doesn't look like they will. If they would win out, possibly. Well, that pressure is not there at all anymore. DeShone Kizer talked about him having a lot of pressure on himself, and I loved his response. He said he was asked about Brian Kelly's comment about DeShone playing subpar, and he just said, no one has higher standards, whether the coaches, fans, the media, no one has higher standards for him than himself. And I'm glad. I would have believed that anyway, but I'm just glad that he verbalized it, and he definitely is a very introspective young man, and he wants to be great, and he knows that even if he talked about the bar, you know, it's not throwing for 450 yards or rushing for a certain amount of times, a certain amount of touchdowns. There's always things that can be worked on, even if you win. The goal is to win, and he said if there is a bar, the bar is to win. But then there's so many other things that go into it.
Yeah.
And I'm just excited and optimistic about him.
I do agree that this has to be, if this game does not go well, then your season could likely be lost. I mean, you're going to lose a player. That's when the players are really going to doubt themselves and the coaches. So this is as important as the other game, but this game is even more important now.
Who would have thought the Syracuse game could be this important?
I think before the season started, a lot of people looked at this as a letdown game. I mean, a look-ahead game, whatever term you want to use, as this was a spot, you know, that Notre Dame was looking ahead to the next game.
Definitely not the case.
Well, we're looking ahead to the next year instead of just the next game.
All right. Let's just look at some of the numbers for Syracuse.
One more thing before we get into that. Brian Kelly said he needs to show more emotion on the sideline. And we know how emotional he can get from a few years ago. You still see pictures every once in a while of Brian Kelly and his beet red face yelling at the players, spit flying everywhere. But he said his comment was he doesn't have to be a lunatic and he doesn't have to throw chairs, but he can show more excitement. So I do think we might see some more emotion from him. I mean, he says that's him. That's how he, you know, he dialed it back before, but that is him. And I think we'll see that more from the whole coaching staff, because even the comments from Anuwalu were that Hudson, you know, he didn't really know what his role was before, but meeting him when they were eating or something like that, he was always exciting. He always has something to say. And so I think we'll definitely see more emotion from the sideline.
And even if it's not genuine emotion, even if it's a little manufactured, that can still...
I think it is. I think this will be genuine.
Well, I'm saying even if it isn't, that can still kind of cultivate true emotional reaction then.
So we should have a clown
maybe,
on the sideline.
Maybe it is a little forced, you know, the first couple of times, but I think it will definitely help if they can get fired up on the sidelines.
I will say that I think it was the Michigan State. There was one game, one of the last two games, where the defense got a huge stop. It was at fourth down, and Brian Mangorder was on the sideline, and he was pumped a little bit. But I was saying he should do his fist pump one more time. Like, even though the rest of the game, he should have been doing it then to say, hey, you made a huge play. But we haven't seen that since the first year.
Yeah. I believe it was
the first. There was a couple instances.
I believe that was the first game. I don't know if he did it since the first game. It was Michigan was the game.
Yeah, it wasn't the first game. That wasn't the first game.
It wasn't?
No.
Okay.
So there was instances that even Brian Van Gorder could have, you know, people might not have liked it, but he could have shown more emotion. You made a play. Show some excitement like you did then.
Yeah.
So it's been missing from everyone.
All right, are you ready to look at the stats
yes.
for Syracuse? All right, this is a high-powered offense as far as moving the ball. We talked on our opponent's preview recap podcast. You know, they had 200-yard receiver in one game, either in the opening week or the second week. He had
270 last week against Connecticut.
Okay, well, that was the third one then. So he's had two 200-plus yard games.
On 12 receptions.
Overall, their numbers for the year, let's just look at their points for a second. But that's what's weird. They don't score that many points. They score 28 points per game. Notre Dame's at just under, they're at 37 points per game. And they give up about the same amount. We each give up around 34 points per game.
That's scary. I think the over-under is 70 for this game, 70-something.
Okay, I don't see it here on ESPN.
I said at this point it's going to be over.
See, I could,
but well, I'm either way. It's going to. There's potential to have a lot of points scored. Both teams have bad defense.
I think the most staggering statistic is the amount of passing yards that Syracuse has. They average over 370 passing yards per game, and last week when Deshaun passed for 380, that was either the most or the second most yards he's passed in a game. Which usually we have a good run game going. He's not asked to pass for that many yards.
Yeah.
But definitely they have a high powered offense. Now, you mentioned
Randall. I will quick throw this out. All these points they scored, all these passing yards, you know who the opposing coach was?
Well, Bob Diaco last
week.
Bob
Diaco. So just remember it's just kind of interesting that they did that against our coordinator that some people have wished for since myself as well. Like, they did throw up a lot of yards against
UConn.
Yeah.
Syracuse has at least, they only played one FCS school in week one. And since then they've played Louisville, South Florida, both of which were losses. And then they got their first win against a Division I school last week against UConn, 31-24. So I am a little surprised they haven't scored more points for how many yards they're putting up. But definitely, we've seen Notre Dame give up more points to schools than they should have in the past. Randall, you had mentioned that their quarterback is not guaranteed to play on Saturday.
Well, Eric Dungy supposedly has an undisclosed injury. Nobody really knows what it was. I guess he was getting some treatment for it, and he did. I think he did talk with the media, but the coach, Babers, wouldn't say anything. They haven't said he'll most likely play, but you know, that's always a question. Even if they do come in, if they have a nagging injury, you know, it doesn't take a whole lot for them to be out of the game. But if he does go out, their backup quarterback, Zach Mahoney, is a pretty good quarterback, but he can't throw the deep ball as well, and that's where they thrive. So I expect him to play, but there is something going on there that they're not talking about or that the coaches aren't announcing. So definitely something to watch this week.
And then as far as on the receiving side of the ball, they're led by Amba Edetawa.
That sounds good.
And he's got over 700 yards so far this season. That's almost double what our leading receiver has, Equanimeous St. Brown. EQ has 360 yards.
I think he's close to the top in the country as far as receiving yards, if not number one.
So, and Brian Clay mentioned, this is one guy they need to keep an eye on him.
Well, that's scary. Like, what is Notre Dame going to do? Your best cornerback has struggled majorly the last 2 weeks against lesser opponents. And here you've got one of the top receivers in the country coming in, and you can basically throw the ball wherever you want to, and he gets it. You just have to throw it up in the air. I don't know what the game plan is to try to stop this guy.
They pretty much have two receivers that they rely on heavily. Amba Edetawa and then Irvin Phillips. He has 36 catches for a little under 300 yards. So they have about the same amount of catches, 40 for Edetawa and then 36 for Phillips. But they just get a lot more yards with Edetawa. So.
And the style of offense that they run, which they are fourth in the country with 86.3 plays per game, they kind of keep the receivers to the outside, and which opens up the middle of the field for the, you know, Irvin Phillips and the running game. And so, you know, they stay close. Edetawa will usually play close to the sideline and force the defender, the cornerbacks, to play outside, and then they try to get the safeties to bite. And that's a bad recipe.
Their leading rusher is Dante Strickland, and then their second rusher is their quarterback. So do you know their backup quarterback, is he dual threat?
I don't know. I expect him to be able to run, just because, you know, usually your quarterbacks aren't, obviously you have two different quarterbacks at Notre Dame as far as a backup, but he should be able to do the same thing.
This is their leading rusher, Dante Strickland, has rushed 61 times for 226 yards. And then their quarterback has rushed 45 times, so just 16 fewer attempts. Now, that I'm pretty sure this stat also includes sacks, because he has a net of 67 yards, but that's because he lost 83 yards in rushing. So I'm pretty sure this number also includes sacks.
Okay.
But either way, the quarterback will most likely be a pretty heavy dose of the running game as well. But that's not where they thrive. They really don't rush for that many yards per game. I'm just looking at the numbers right now.
Which is good to see. I mean, that's the teams we've faced so far like to run the ball. And so definitely a different... It'll definitely help in the with the pass defense, just because you don't have to be quite as worried about the run defense.
Yeah, they average 125 yards per game rushing.
So you can drop more linemen in coverage because you don't
have
to.
Yeah, you're right.
So but we want that pass defense.
Let's rehire Brian Van Gorder. All right, defensively, this Syracuse team has given up a lot of points. They only gave up 7 to Colgate, FCS school, but to Louisville they gave up 62. To South Florida they gave up 45. And even to Connecticut they gave up 24 points. And Connecticut is not known for putting points on the board.
Yeah, they're one of their weaknesses is giving up long plays. So hopefully this is a week where we can actually see Notre Dame get some long plays, even in the run game. I mean, they have been in the passing game. They've looked good doing that. And I'm sure if we'll be watching the game with Kyle, he'll be yelling throw the deep ball all game long. So that is their weakness, is the giving up big plays.
All right. So it's clear how they're going to attack offensively. They've got an all-star wide receiver, a quarterback that can throw the ball around. We didn't talk about his touchdowns and passes. He has 3 interceptions and 9 touchdowns. Can you verify that for me?
The other...
He has 9 touchdowns.
And Syracuse is in the top 6 in completions, attempts, and passing yardage. So all 3 of those, they're in the top 6 in the country. So they'll definitely be airing it out.
Yeah. If they can try to wear down Notre Dame's defense, hopefully with this new look at getting more guys into the game, Notre Dame's defense can stay fresh and hopefully
get a pass rush.
hopefully get a pass rush, but I was just going to say hopefully stop a few of these offensive drives by Syracuse.
Yeah.
As far as Notre Dame, because this defense isn't great, they have given up a lot of points. I do think Notre Dame can get back to, which I thought this last week, can get back to running the ball. Syracuse gives up over 200 yards on the ground per game. So I think this is a good time to get Dexter Williams more involved with the rushing attack on the offense. And by all accounts, I do believe Brian Kelly when he does say that he's one of the guys who need to get more touches. I do think we'll see that. And I think we can get back on track. I mean, Notre Dame, I think they can and should be able to put up over 200 yards on the ground. But I also think that we can definitely continue to use our offensive passing weapons like EQ and obviously Torrey Hunter, Stepherson, CJ.
Yeah, I didn't expect to be saying this as a Notre Dame fan, but if the run game, don't try to force it either until you have a decent lead. Go with what works. I want to run the ball,
yeah,
which helps open the passing game, but Syracuse gives up a lot of big plays, and Notre Dame is good at getting those deep passes. They have good receivers. They have one of the top quarterbacks in the country. If the run game isn't going very good, let's get a lead. Let's score some points passing the ball. It can be done. And then you can. I still want to try to run the ball, but I'm saying if it's not working, don't keep forcing it.
I agree, don't force it. However, if the numbers are there, I mean, run it. If you have the blockers are there, run it.
But yeah, but what we've seen the last few weeks, they've run and run and run. And when they've gone to all out pass, the other defense knew they were going to pass. They were still able to do it. And so I don't want them to wait until they're behind or it's a close game to start passing the ball.
Even in this last game, do you think Notre Dame? Well,
yeah, the run game was terrible. Power
play. Yeah, I know it was terrible, but as far as it being balanced, did it feel to you like Notre Dame ran the ball more than they rushed it? I mean, passed it.
Passed. No, because in the end, all they did was pass the ball. But I just felt like they tried to go with the run for too long. That with Duke and Michigan State, this offensive line isn't the same, and they've been playing from a couple touchdowns. They've been playing from behind. They've been behind by a couple touchdowns, and they're still running the ball. I would rather have them air it out in the beginning, score.
I think you need to stay balanced, because then the best way.
But it's not working.
We've scored 35 or more points every single game.
Yeah, because they've gone to the passing game in the second half, because they've had to. They haven't scored points until they started passing the ball, and teams know they're passing, and they still get it done.
Notre Dame had 3 rushing touchdowns on Saturday. And I know that doesn't really matter because
they get to the red zone.
Yeah.
That is, we talked about after the podcast Monday night, but that is a positive thing. There are some very positive things with this team. The red zone offense is one of them.
And that's always been a huge complaint. Yes.
They have improved it.
They have.
By a very large percentage.
It's so noticeable that, I mean, it doesn't really come up anymore.
yeah. And while we're talking about the positives, the other thing is Niles Morgan. Niles Morgan has not made very many mistakes. He's actually on the Butkus watch list. Now I have to look at it really quick, but that is a huge.
He's 7th on the list right now.
In the country.
On that list, on the Butkus list.
Okay. He's doing amazing. Like we did not. That was one area that struggled. I mean, Joe Schmidt tried. Looks like he had more injuries than we thought. You know, he's had off-season surgery on his shoulder, I believe. But that is a huge improvement, and he's not making mistakes. So, just had to throw in a couple positive things.
Hey, but back on rushing passing.
Yes.
The reason you want to be balanced is so that the defense can't guess what you're going to do.
I agree with you. I totally know where you're coming from.
If you're behind, you need to score more quickly. So, we need to make bigger plays and not take time off the clock every time we run a play. So, I know, yeah, I do agree with you some, too. But
I don't know how I would split it up. But against Michigan State, did Notre Dame rush one time in the fourth quarter?
I could look it up.
They passed. What I'm saying is the passing game worked.
It also worked.
Don't wait till you're down by three touchdowns to start passing the ball.
They were passing the ball in the first quarter pretty heavily. Yeah.
But they were also trying to run it.
Yeah, well, I find it. Remember how much
I want to keep doing it.
Remember
until
how much crap
down
we
by,
were giving Brian Kelly for not running the ball.
That's why
if they
I
run
said,
the ball more than 40 times a game, they win every game.
I know. That's why I said I never thought I'd be saying any of this.
And by the way, against Duke, Notre Dame split it 50-50, 37 passes, 37 rushes.
So, I just think they wait too long. That's the thing. I wander on the ball. They just wait too long to go to the passing game. They're down and they can't climb them out of the hole.
It would help if our running backs would break more tackles.
I agree. So that's one disappointing stat. If you look at, I was just in shot looking at some other running backs around the country and the amount of tackles that they've broken, it's just, it's depressing.
Well, they're probably used to going against our defense.
That's true. That is true.
All right, we're going to come back Thursday and Friday with our score predictions and with our opponents' podcast, looking at Notre Dame's opponents, who they're playing, and who they did play this past weekend, and look at how they're doing. Anything else, Randall, before we wrap this one up?
I don't think so.
Oh, one other thing. This is what we're going to do. The next time we have our analysts on from Pro Football Focus, we're going to do a little comparison and looking at the grades for the first 4 weeks, defensive grades from the first 4 weeks to this last week, and kind of compare, see if there's improvement. Maybe we'll wait a few weeks to get a better idea of how this Notre Dame defense has changed, if it does change as far as grading out on paper. So I'm definitely looking forward to that. Follow us on Twitter at Irish Sports Talk, on Facebook. If you guys have thoughts or questions you want discussed, send us a tweet, and we'll be doing our score prediction podcast. That'll be out Friday. We'll be recording that Thursday night along with our score or our opponent's podcast. So thank you guys for listening, and until next time, go Irish.
Go Irish.